This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
This morning on WCHL, the mayors of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Hillsborough have joined 223 other mayors in signing an amicus brief urging the United States Supreme Court to rule for equal marriage rights nationwide.
We're talking about the family. We're talking about people and their daily lives.
UNC faculty chair Bruce Cairns tells WCHL's Blake Hodge the university's work on poverty will continue despite the decision to close the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at Carolina. And UNC athletic director Bubba Cunningham says he and others at the university are looking to find a way to help Ryan Hoffman, a former UNC offensive lineman, is now homeless, living on the streets of Lakeland, Florida. Those stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports disappointment with the Carolina basketball team. And
is old Roy going soft on us?
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 51 degrees in Chapel Hill, and actually not a bad day today. Starting out rather warm, mostly cloudy today, high today about 68 degrees. And looking ahead a little bit tonight, partly cloudy, and a chance of rain not until after midnight, though. Our overnight low in the upper 40s, and then tomorrow, pretty much like today, except a bigger chance of rain, 50-50 chance of rain with a high of 68 degrees. The mayors of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Hillsborough have joined 223 other mayors around the country in signing an amicus brief urging the Supreme Court to rule for equal marriage rights nationwide. Danny Hooley has more.
Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt told WCHL that there's good reason for the Supreme Court to listen to mayors, not just state and federal legislators, when it comes to speaking for the rights of citizens.
We're talking about the family. We're talking about people and their daily lives. And mayors are in a closer relationship with their citizens in that regard.
For several years, Kleinschmidt has been a member of Mayors for the Freedom to Marry. It's a group of around 700 mayors joined under the banner of Freedom to Marry, a national coalition of state organizations and allies working for marriage equality. Kleinschmidt, along with Carborough Mayor Lydia LaBelle and Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens, joined 223 other mayors in signing a Friends of the Court brief that was filed with the U.S. Supreme Court. This spring, a battle that could be a decisive one for the war will be fought there. On April 28th, the justices will hear arguments in Obergefell versus Hodges, the leading Ohio case linked with other marriage equality cases from Tennessee, Michigan, and Kentucky. Federal courts have ruled in recent years that denying marriage equality was a violation of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina, the Amendment 1 gay marriage ban was struck down in October. Here's Kleinschmidt.
But things changed a little bit this last year when the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is made up of Michigan and Ohio and Tennessee, came up with a different decision. They held that there was not a fundamental right to marry.
That decision creates what Kleinschmidt calls a very sharp division between the Sixth Circuit and every other federal court in the country that has taken up this issue. That's why the U.S. Supreme Court granted a review. There are two main questions being considered. Does the U.S. Constitution require states to recognize the right of same-sex couples to marry, or do state governments get to decide who has that right? And are states required to recognize same-sex marriages from other states? A lot of issues come into play here: inheritance rights, hospital visitation rights, parental rights, and rights when traveling, to name a few. Carborough Mayor Lydia LaBelle recently got married to longtime partner Alicia Stemper in a public ceremony at Town Commons. She said that not being treated equally wherever she travels, in her own country, really hits home with her these days.
I hadn't even really thought about it that way because I feel like, whew, I'm finally married. When I go home to visit my family in Ohio, I'm not.
There's reason for LaBelle and others to feel encouraged, though. Freedom to Marry has allies from both sides of the political aisle in the U.S. Conference of Mayors and within its own group. Here's Freedom to Marry's national campaign director, Mark Solomon.
We have mayors of both parties who are part of our program. One of our co-chairs, the mayor of San Diego, is a Republican, and we have several other Republican mayors who are part of the effort.
Here in North Carolina, however, same-sex marriage remains a partisan issue at the state capitol. Last week, the Republican-controlled NC House took up Senate Bill 2, which would allow magistrates and people working at deeds offices to deny marriage-related services to same-sex couples based on religious objections. That GOP-backed bill bill passed the Senate almost strictly on party lines. Kleinschmidt calls that notion that government employees could selectively deny services outrageous. He said that if Senate Bill 2 passes the House, then Governor Pat McCrory will certainly hear from him, as well as three other openly gay mayors in North Carolina.
I'll be asking him to veto it. If he doesn't veto it and it becomes law, I anticipate that there are going to be court challenges to Senate Bill 2 almost immediately.
Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Dr. Jan Boxall, who's been one of the key figures in the academic scandal at UNC, resigned her position, the university announced late last week. Rick White is Associate Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs at UNC, says Boxall's resignation came just before her appeal of her firing was to be heard by a faculty committee.
That hearing was scheduled to take place. However, Dr. Boxall chose to resign prior to that hearing starting. So once that letter of resignation was received and accepted, then that whole process just stopped.
Boxall's resignation was effective February 28th. White says they did not cut a deal for this resignation.
There was no settlement per se. Dr. Boxall is covered under the state of North Carolina retirement system. However, we're treating this now simply as a resignation and going forward and not a termination because she did resign prior to that termination process being complete.
White says as far as the university is concerned, the resignation of Dr. Boxall is a closed book. Many UNC faculty members and citizens across the state have expressed concern recently with the decision from the Board of Governors to close three centers across the UNC system. UNC faculty chair Dr. Bruce Cairns tells WCHL's Blake Hodge the university's work on poverty will continue despite the decision to close the Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at Carolina.
What is UNC going to be able to do to try to help out with those centers going forward, and what was your general reaction from the Board of Governors meeting?
Well, as you mentioned, this was very disappointing. We had, as a faculty council, had earlier passed a resolution that suggested that the Board of Governors follow the policy that had been in place regarding centers and institutes, that those decisions are made by the individual campuses, in particular the chancellors, the Board of Trustees, and the faculty. So we thought that that was a good policy. In addition, we endorsed the work of the Poverty Center. And so the idea that one of our centers would be closed and that we would not have the ability at UNC Chapel Hill to make that decision clearly caused difficulties for us. So where we stand now is there was just a message that was sent out by Chancellor Folt that reiterates that we're going to continue our work on poverty. Professor Nickel is going to continue his work on poverty. I believe that the Z. Smith Reynolds Foundation will continue to support that work on poverty because very little, if any, state funds were used to support this center, and that there may be a number of other nonprofits and other entities that will support this work. So my strong belief is that work will continue and that Professor Nickel will continue to do what he has done in the past and that that's really important to the university. The second is that we do appreciate the fact that none of our other centers had any of their funds cut. The General Assembly had commissioned this review to find $15 million to support other university initiatives. And so we're pleased that none of our centers have been recommended for any decrease in state funding. So that's important as well. I think that we're going to have to continue to support the work of our faculty and I think support the ability for our university, UNC Chapel Hill, that is, to continue to do the kind of interdisciplinary collaborative work that I think is in many cases not possible elsewhere in support of the people of the state of North Carolina. And we'll just continue to work within the governance structure that we have at North Carolina, in the UNC system to ensure that we can continue to be the best, again, global public research university we can be. And we're just going to have to continue to be vigilant and continue to keep an eye on these processes to make sure that we can do that.
One interesting thing I thought that came out of this was the decision of the Center on Law and Government to voluntarily close. Do you think that other centers may do that to try to take their name off of even consideration from the Board of Governors?
Well, my understanding is that the feeling was is that this comprehensive review of centers and institutes throughout the UNC system had not been completed before, and that there was a desire to have a standardized process to evaluate these centers that are approved by the Board of Governors. It is important to know that there are multiple centers you may not have heard of, that are already within the UNC Chapel Hill system that aren't technically approved by the Board of Governors. An example of that that might be surprising is where I work. The North Carolina J.C. Burn Center is part of the Department of Surgery and the School of Medicine and the UNC Hospital. So it was not one of the 240 centers that were reviewed. We have a number of these on the UNC Chapel Hill campus, in the School of Medicine, in the College of Arts and Sciences. And I think in talking with Michael Gerhardt, what he's saying is that his work doesn't have to be a center and institute at the Board of Governors level, but it, in fact, can be incorporated into the law school and become one of these other countless centers that we have that supports interdisciplinary work. So I think that that was the feeling is that the administrative structure of having a center for law and government wasn't required to continue to do that work. One could make the case that the same approach could be used for the center for poverty, work, and opportunity, that a different structure within the law school will allow that work to continue. But it wouldn't be a center that would go through the Board of Governors process.
That is Dr. Bruce Cairns speaking with Blake Hodge, and you will hear more from Dr. Cairns later this hour, including how he would gauge the feeling of faculty on the UNC campus. 717 WCHL, time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. And now here's Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 15501 just starting to crowd in spots in between 40 and Franklin Street. Still a delay-free trip, though, if you're heading to the airport, 40 eastbound from Highway 86. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
All right. Thanks so much. That's a good, clean traffic report.
Okay.
that's really good. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant Barks, where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients, created by Executive Chef James Clark and his very talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carbaryl Weather, presented by Town Hall Grill. And it actually looks pretty good. It's unseasonably warm this morning. It is 51 degrees right now, and compared to the cold that we've experienced lately, that feels awfully good out there. 51 degrees, mostly cloudy. High today about 68. Tonight partly cloudy and a slight chance of rain after midnight. Low tonight about 48 degrees. And then tomorrow, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain and the high of about 68 one more time. And Town Hall Grill is the home of the best half-pound burger in the Triangle. Town Hall Grill, located in Southern Village, is the perfect place for a great meal. Don't forget, kids under 7 eat for free Monday through Friday from 5 until 7 p.m.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carbaryl's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. 97.9 FM, 1360 AM, WCHL.
WCHL news time is 719. UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham says he and others at the university are looking to find a way to help a former football player for the Tar Heels, Ryan Hoffman.
Gosh, your heart goes out to anybody that's homeless and down on their luck, and to think that it was a Carolina grad, former football player, it's tragic. It's a sad story.
Last week, the New York Times published a profile of Hoffman, a former UNC offensive lineman who's now homeless and living on the streets of Lakeland, Florida. In the Times piece, Hoffman says he's struggling with cognitive problems that keep him from holding down a job, problems he says stem from his years playing college football in the late 90s. Cunningham says there's an effort underway to bring Hoffman to Chapel Hill to be evaluated by Kevin Guskowitz, co-director of the sports-related Traumatic Brain Injury Research Center at UNC.
Kevin said, boy, I'd love to get him here and provide the services we provide former NFL players and do some testing and see if we can help.
Meanwhile, former teammates have launched a fundraising effort to help out a fellow Tar Heel, according to former UNC linebacker Bo Perry.
Thought it was necessary to start to take action immediately and have reached out to Ryan, and we're trying to bring him relief now to let everyone in the Tar Heel family know that once they're in the family, it's tough to get out. And we do this for anyone, any of our guys or gals that fall into this situation. They have a support group that is immense at UNC.
But Cunningham says athletics officials also need to clear the plan with the NCAA.
Part of our process would be, hey, let's notify our compliance office. Let's have the compliance office communicate with the conference and with the NCAA. And, you know, that's from a procedural standpoint. From a, you know, human standpoint, you just want to do what you can to help somebody. But, you know, certainly there are rules that you need to follow. And so we're going through those processes.
Cunningham, along with Rick Steinbacher, is working out details. He says they don't yet have a timeline for action. You can find a link to donate to Help Hoffman on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Now, news around town this morning. Pavement work on South Columbia Street near the Carolina Inn will close two northbound traffic lanes from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. today. All this week, actually, today through Friday. Chapel Hill Transit is advising drivers to expect possible service delays, so be sure and allow extra travel time when driving downtown. Any delays will also impact next bus predictions. For more information, visit owasa.org. That is owasa.org. owasa.org. 722 WCHL Championship Sports Time. A bit of deja vu. We're still suffering from it. Carolina on Saturday night. It happened again. Tar Heels were ahead and then couldn't hold on to a second-half lead against Duke. A Tobacco Road sweep went the way of Duke by a score of 84-77 in the Smith Center. This one wasn't close like the last one. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more.
A mass exodus of fans in the Smith Center is rarely a good sign, especially when the game is still in progress, and especially when the opponent is Duke, and especially on senior night. All of this added up to a pretty emotional Roy Williams in the post-game press conference.
I've got to do a better job of getting them to focus. Can't have those stretches there against a really good basketball team, and I hate it on senior day. But I was spoiled rotten. 10 years as assistant coach, we always won on senior day. First 24 years as a head coach, we won on every senior day. And now we've lost two of the last three, and so whatever I was doing earlier, I need to get back to doing a better job.
One player who did do a great job Saturday night was Duke freshman sensation Tyus Jones, who saves his best stuff for the clutch moments. And once again, he delivered on the biggest stage. Jones finished with 24 points to lead all scorers. Senior Quinn Cook wasn't far behind, tallying 20 points. But Duke's Coach K credited a different player for changing the complexion of the game in the second half.
Our backcourt was sensational. You know, those two kids have played so well all year. A big key to the game was Emil. You know, starting him in the second half, and we started to do something a little bit different defensively in the full court, and he's the best guy to do that.
Duke's press, led by Emil Jefferson, flustered Carolina, leading to costly turnovers that in turn the Blue Devils took full advantage of. In total, UNC coughed up 20 turnovers. That doesn't make any coach happy, let alone Coach Williams.
Turnovers, needless to say, hurt us, and their offensive rebounding in the second half hurt us.
UNC's Marcus Page turned in a solid 23-point outing, but it wasn't enough to make it a memorable performance. That would require a victory. The junior guard says the difference between the Tar Heels and their rivals comes in attention to detail and precise execution.
Just the discipline to finish our possessions the right way. You know, we had a couple good defensive possessions where they would get the offensive rebound. They had, I think, 4 second chance points and 3 possessions down the stretch, and just not containing the ball. A couple times they drive and kick for 3. That's their specialty. That's what they do, and we let up in that regard. So they just made a couple plays due to the discipline and the attention to detail, and we just kind of missed out on those opportunities.
So it's back to the drawing board for the Tar Heels as they prepare for the ACC tournament. As the 5 seed, UNC will face the winner of the Tuesday Boston College-Georgia Tech matchup on Wednesday afternoon in the Greensboro Coliseum. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
In other sports this morning, Duke's Jahlil Okafor is the first freshman in Atlantic Coast Conference history to win the league's Player of the Year award. Okafor on Sunday also was announced as a unanimous selection both as ACC Rookie of the Year and the All-Conference First Team. The ACC announced its award winners following a vote of 64 members of the Atlantic Coast Sports Media Association. Okafor and Notre Dame's Darian Grant were the unanimous picks to an All-ACC First Team that also included Syracuse's Rakeem Christmas, Virginia's Malcolm Brogdon, and Boston College's Olivia Hanlon. Virginia's Tony Bennett selected as Coach of the Year for the second straight year after once again leading the Cavaliers to the number one seed in the league tournament. Okafor, by the way, got 44 votes for Player of the Year award to only 14 for Grant, so it wasn't very close. In Atlantic Coast Conference tournament action for the women, Jewel Lloyd scored 18 points. Number 2 Notre Dame earned its second straight ACC tournament championship, beating number 7 Florida State 71-58 in the title game on Sunday. Notre Dame won the Big East tournament in 2013, its final season in that league, and improved to 6-0 in ACC tournament games. They shot 37%, missed 15 of 17 shots during the stretch when the game began to slip away, and it was an interesting game. It was Notre Dame over Florida State, 71-58. Chapel Hill High School girls basketball team defeated Rockingham County on Saturday night, 57-37 in Fayetteville. They are trying to defend their state championship basketball title. And they're still alive, the only local high school team to say that. Next, the Tigers will be playing right here in Chapel Hill. And the Carolina baseball team got 2 out of 3 against Duke over the weekend. They lost yesterday 9-2 at Bochimer Stadium in the final act of their three-game series. So the Tar Heels are now 2-1 in conference play, 10-4 overall. Duke got their first conference win. They are now 1-2 in the Atlantic Coast Conference and 11-3 on the year. That's WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you this morning by Cruisers.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. People often ask me about the price of gasoline and what they can do to save at the pump. Right now, you can save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for an ExxonMobil Rewards smart card at Cruisers. When you use the card, we save on credit card fees and pass the savings along to you. Think of the savings each time you fill up and beyond. Stop by any of our 24 convenient area locations and we'll sign you up.
Save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for the ExxonMobil Mobile Smart Card. Cruisers. Good to go.
And now brought to you by the Vapor Girl.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Is old Roy going soft on us? This is our Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. Roy Williams' idea to honor Mike Krzyzewski before Saturday night's game against Duke was met with mixed reaction. People who heard about it beforehand wanted to know why we would do such a thing for the archenemy. And when the brief ceremony began, there were boos that soon became cheers when the PA announcer explained that UNC was honoring Coach K's 1,000-plus wins and the grace he showed toward Dean Smith when the legendary Carolina coach died. It seemed a little sappy for what is supposedly a bitter rivalry, and it would have been long forgotten if the coach we had honored hadn't outcoached our coach and led the Blue Devils to their fourth win in the last 6 years in the Dean Dome. Duke again erased a Tar Heel lead in the second half, and this time cruised to victory down the stretch. It's funny, watching the game and looking at the stats gives you two different impressions. The Tar Heel shot the same 58% as Duke in the second half, hit 50% of their three-pointers, and 100% of their free throws. That's a pretty good box score, but looking at the game in person or on TV, it seemed like a struggle for the home team most of the night. Duke has better personnel, clearly, with three or four guys who will be in the NBA sooner or later. Hope it's sooner. Carolina has more size and depth, but failed to utilize it as well as in the first game. Duke defended the Tar Heels' passive postgame much more fiercely than in Durham, and its overall defense made it hard for Carolina to get into any rhythm on offense. The Tar Heels' freelance game turns helter-skelter 20 seconds into the shot clock, and we wind up either overpassing, short-arming shots, or forcing balls to the basket. That's why it seemed amazing that 48% of them went in. Again, Duke shot twice as many free throws as UNC, and this time won the offensive rebounding battle. Another key stat was our 16 turnovers compared to their 10, because we had three or four key ones in the second half that let the Blue Devils take control of the game. Every Duke player knows which shot he can take, and its guards had little trouble going to the basket against our big guys. Too many things have to go right for Carolina to turn what started a sappy game into a happy ending. And this time, they just didn't happen. This is our chance, dude. See ya.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 51 degrees, believe it or not, this morning. Mostly cloudy today, high today in the upper 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy, and a chance of rain after midnight tonight. Overnight low about 48 degrees. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies with a 50% chance of rain, and the high tomorrow in the upper 60s. I'm looking ahead a little bit. Tomorrow night, it's going to be cloudy, chance of rain again. Not as cool, though, with the lows in the upper 50s. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with the chance of rain. Pretty much all day, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon, and a high around 70 degrees on Wednesday. So we're We're shooting for that. Coming up just a few minutes here, we're going to take a look at what's happening at chapelbro.com. And there's a lot to talk about with Mickey Morse. And let me just tell you that Town Hall Grill is the home of the best half-pound burger in the Triangle. Town Hall Grill, located in Southern Village, the perfect place for a great meal. Don't forget, after UNC home game, show your ticket and get 10% off anything to eat and drink at Town Hall Grill.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM, WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
I'm Dave Barrett. A racist video from the University of Oklahoma chapter of the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity showed up on YouTube.
Late last night, Sigma Alpha Epsilon's national organization suspended all members of the Oklahoma Kappa chapter and said, quote, "This type of hateful action is not what Sigma Alpha Epsilon stands for."
That's CBS's Michelle Miller. Reaction to that video from this OU student.
Why do y'all do this? Racism doesn't even go on like that. Well, obviously it does.
Jessica Holly is with KWTV. She has sampled thoughts from other students.
Most of them have said they are disgusted, appalled. Many have talked about how they knew that there were possible racial tensions on campus, but never have seen it be surfaced in this manner.
An anti-racism rally is to begin on the OU campus in a couple of hours. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Oh, boy, hard to believe that kind of stuff is still happening. It's 2015, guys. Come on. 732 WCHL, good morning. It is 51 degrees in Chapel Hill, ahead of a pretty good day today. We're going to have a lot of clouds, but our high today in the upper 60s, so really pleasant out there this morning. Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight to talk about ways cyclists and pedestrians can safely cross major roads in the Ephesus Fordham District. An engineering firm has assessed the area and recommends a combination of bridges and tunnels to navigate over and under 15501 and Franklin Street. Those projects range in cost from $625,000 up to $2.7 million. The council will also consider what agricultural support activities should be allowed in the rural buffer. That meeting starts tonight at 7 o'clock in Chapel Hill Town Hall. Before the town council meeting takes place, the town of Chapel Hill and UNC are announcing a major commitment to the Northside Neighborhood Initiative. Event speakers will include town of Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, and Northside residents. WCHL's Jugmeet Mack will be there and will have a report on the developments. The Center on Law and Government at UNC chose to voluntarily close after the UNC System Board of Governors decided to close three centers system-wide at their last meeting. UNC faculty Chair Dr. Bruce Cairns told WCHL's Blake Hodge that you may see more voluntary closings in the future.
I thought it was more of a preemptive move. If you can go ahead and continue your work without being in consideration of that, then why would you take the risk?
Well, and there were about 11 centers across the UNC system that said administratively we don't need to remain a center like this to continue our work. And that, from my understanding, the Center for Biodiversity at East Carolina has said something similar, that they'll be able to continue their work within the departmental structure that they have. And so I think administrative structures that create the centers and institutes within the UNC system was also being evaluated, and I think that individual campuses where these centers are located are looking at those administrative structures. And again, I think it's important, and we believe this is important, and I know the Chancellor believes it's important, that we're able to continue our work, that we're able to continue our work in all of these disciplines. It's what makes us a great university, and so that's going to be how we respond to this decision.
With the recent decisions put forward by the Board of Governors, seems to be an obvious shift there. How would you characterize the feelings and the thoughts of the faculty right now?
Well, there have been a lot of reactions, and there's concern that this reflects a change in the way the UNC system will be administered, and that there are a number of issues related to the way we do business that could significantly impact faculty. And you may have seen a letter in the News and Observer by Professor Leonard regarding some of the changes that have occurred, and I think that what we need to do is really continue to work within our faculty governance structure at UNC Chapel Hill, as well as in the faculty assembly, which is the 17 system schools, to continue to define what we think is important and that allows us to do our work, and then try to understand and work with the Board of Governors. Do we need to have a better understanding of what their goals are? A little bit more transparency in terms of what direction we're headed. Some of those directions, particularly if they impinge on academic freedom, will absolutely become problematic for the faculty. And I think that that's what you've noticed. So we are all paying very close attention. We do recognize, however, that the Board of Governors has a significant impact on the appropriation of state funds and the establishing of priorities. And so we need to, particularly if we're involved in faculty governance, continue to work within that structure to ensure that all of the programs and support for our students and the infrastructure of the university is supported. You know, the people of the state contribute an enormous amount to the UNC system and to UNC Chapel Hill. So we understand why there would be, and this is the way the system was created by President Friday, that there would be a voice for the Board of Governors in how we steward the university for the people of the state. But it's very important that our basic principles that we believe in as faculty that have let us get to this point, that we still have a firm foundation of that. And we've talked about this with our administration, our provost and chancellor, as well as the Board of Trustees. And I believe we're all on that same page. But we just need to continue to figure out what direction we're headed and how we can make sure that we stay on that same path. But it's concerning.
That is Bruce Cairns speaking with WCHL's Blake Hodge. The North Carolina Department of Transportation is seeking public comment on its proposed 10-year, $15 billion state transportation improvement program. The agency website notes the plan unveiled in December envisions more than 1,000 transportation projects, with projects in all 100 North Carolina counties. The department said in a release that residents can comment on the plan through the agency's Mind Mixer computer portal. And then beginning next week on March 17th, the agency hosts the first of 10 public information meetings it's holding in towns across North Carolina. The meetings will continue through April 23rd, which is the final day to submit comments on the plan. And more news around town stories on WCHL. Durham Technical Community College is offering a unique travel abroad opportunity. This fall semester, community members as well as Durham Tech students, faculty, and staff will have a chance to spend a week in Cuba. Participants in the program will enroll in a continuing education course about Cuba to prepare for travel. The trip will be from October 10th to 18th and has a base price of $3,791. If you'd like more information, visit durhamtech.edu. durhamtech.edu. And the Orange Rural Fire Department will train with a practice fire at 618 North Churton Street in Hillsboro the morning of Saturday, March 14th. That's this coming Saturday. We'll be removing the structure, which would have otherwise been demolished. The department plans to begin the control burn at 9 a.m. and training should be finished by 1. The public is welcome to watch, but must stay behind the fire line perimeter at a safe distance from the structure. 7:38 WCHL morning. I'm Rod Stutz. Glad to have you along today. It's really kind of a pleasant day as far as temperature is concerned. 51 degrees in Chapel Hill, 7:39. Nikki Morse joins us now. And what's going on today at chapelboro.com?
So much. Yesterday was a huge day for us at the Carolina Inn. We celebrated our hometown heroes for our hometown heroes luncheon, and Susan Murray was there as well and took a bunch of photos. As a matter of fact, we had everybody that came to the event take a photo when they first came in, and then she took a lot of photos throughout the luncheon, and you can check those out online. Maybe you were one of the folks who got their pictures taken. Your pictures are there for you to see, and if you weren't there, you get to see all the people who make our community the stellar place that it is.
So. I'm looking at that photo gallery right now on my phone. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a great photo gallery.
A lot of interesting folks there.
Mm-hmm. Totally interesting folks there. I got to sit beside Wayne Pond.
Really?
I did. I finally met him. I mean, we talk on the phone all the time, as you know, but just finally got to meet him face to face. It was
a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Apparently, it was totally a once in a lifetime opportunity for me. So there you go. Aaron Keck has a great article out called "Heroism Quiet and Loud" at Deep Dish and Playmakers. Mm-hmm. Both of our local theater companies, Playmakers at UNC and Deep Dish at University Mall, are both running plays about heroism this month. The World War One classic "Journey's End" is at Deep Dish, and "An Enemy of the People's" at Playmakers, so check those out. Also,
fantastic.
Jeff Danner has an article called "The State of Science, Technology, and Industry from 1909, and I was just delving into it. I haven't quite finished the article yet, but it's really fascinating here. He's talking about how his wife gave him a book on technology and science and stuff from, I think it was published in 1908 or something, but
really?
It was like a long, it was like 106 years ago regardless, but it really fascinating how he takes a look at what they were saying science and technology was then and comparing it to how it is now.
Wow.
It's really
sure it's pretty primitive by comparison.
Yeah, and he was also fascinated by the fact that some of the stuff that he was reading, of course, was very outdated and archaic and just didn't make any sense, but it was right beside stuff that was still relevant today. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, the comparisons that you can make. But
well, thanks for pointing that out. I'll look for that, too.
I probably
won't understand half of it, but or actually, I may understand the old stuff.
Yeah, you will. When they start talking about burning coal, you'll remember.
Yeah, I'll get into that, but it's the new stuff that I won't understand.
Okay.
Hey, listen, by the way, normally we do birthdays, and we always do birthdays at about 10 minutes until 7 o'clock in the morning. And there's one I want to make special mention of today. I know it's later, but it's the next hour. But, you know, I want to say happy birthday to Ina Fiorentino. Ina Fiorentino is 97 years old today.
Nice.
I think that's pretty significant.
Absolutely.
97 years ago, in 1918, in Mount Vernon, New York, Ina Fiorentino was born. She moved to Chapel Hill 7 years ago when she was 90.
Better late than never.
She's an amazing mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and still going strong.
Good for her.
I don't know if she's running marathons or what she's doing, but she's still going strong, and she is a force of nature. Ina Fiorentino also happens to be the mother of Mariana Fiorentino and Peter Fiorentino. I just wanted to say happy birthday to Ida today. Ida, dear, have a really happy birthday, and hope everybody makes it special for you. And thanks for all you do. All right. 97 years of age.
Amazing. You know, one day we're going to be like, you know, telling people, you know, happy birthday at 150 and going, you know, remember those days when we used to think 97 was old?
Yeah.
No, we don't think that anymore.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 97, boy, I tell you, that's something else. Hey, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we have coming up, we have today's commentary from Walt Mack next. He says, don't use the E word in a federal facility, and not the post office or anywhere else like that. And also we have Wayne Pond's Word of the Day. We have the Clean Joke of the Day. And today is WCHL Hometown Hero, Great Educator, on the way.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars Charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. People often ask me about the price of gasoline and what they can do to save at the pump. Right now, you can save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for an ExxonMobil Rewards Smart Card at Cruisers. When you use the card, we save on credit card fees and pass the savings along to you. Think of the savings each time you fill up and beyond. Stop by any of our 24 convenient area locations and we'll sign you up.
Save 6 cents per gallon when you sign up for the ExxonMobil Smart Card. Cruisers. good to go.
At the UPS store, we love printing. Flyers, manuals, banners, basically anything you might need printed. And if you're a busy professional or a student, send us your presentation and we will print and bind it and have it ready for pickup right away. Simply submit your print job by email or by visiting our online print website at upsstoreprint.com. And you can always bring your materials to one of our local stores in Chapel Hill North, on Fordham Boulevard, and in Meadowmont. The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
7:42.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Walt Mack. There's a saying that goes, never cry wolf, unless you mean it. Another saying goes, never yell fire in a crowded theater, unless there really is one. And finally, there's the word explosives. That word is explosive in itself. Well, it actually was used last week as I stood in line at the Chapel Hill Main Post Office. The postal clerk asked the routine question they are required to ask. Does the package contain liquid, perishable, or hazardous material? The man answered, explosives. I couldn't believe what I had heard, nor could the postal clerk. What? She asked. It was just a joke, he answered. She replied, this is a federal facility, and you should never joke by saying something like that. I fully expected she would call Chapel Hill Police and have the man arrested, but she didn't. If he were at the airport and had uttered that word to a Homeland Security inspector, the man would have been immediately arrested. If the postal clerk had called the police, the post office would have been evacuated and closed. And the man, he would have been interrogated not only by the Chapel Hill Police, but the FBI as well. I guess I'm glad it turned out the way it did, but if someone were foolish enough to say the E word again to a postal clerk, it could be an entirely different outcome. And the man, well, he was lucky this time. This is Walt Mack.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue.
The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Kit, you recently figured out that Franklin Street has now been in business for 25 years. No small feat given recessions in the 80s, the 90s, the tech bubble in 2001, and who will ever forget 2007?
As always, Sammy, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, right.
Watching the Super Bowl and hearing Katie Couric ask, what is the internet anyway, really made me think about how we managed to survive all that. In the 90s, everyone said that independent real estate firms would disappear, but the internet, as much as anything else, leveled the playing field.
As always, I couldn't agree more. When anyone, anywhere Googles Chapel Hill Real Estate, we are right there in front of them, and our website is unsurpassed in delivering what they want.
And the next thing they need, whether they live here or not, is someone who truly is connected to the community. Did I mention that we've been here for 25 years, paying attention to what matters most to homebuyers?
Kit Ballew, all business, all the time.
Franklin Street Realty, still crazy after all these years.
Wow, still crazy.
Take the first step towards your bachelor's degree with the Arts, Sciences, and University Transfer Program at Durham Tech. You'll get personalized instruction and classes taught in Durham and Orange counties. You'll gain the academic credits you need to transfer to a four-year college as a junior, including schools in the UNC system. And you won't be weighed down by debt thanks to affordable tuition. Visit durhamtech.edu and search ASUT to learn more. And get ready to do great things.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full. And now here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. 54 eastbound, beginning to see some busy segments now as you head towards 40 from Fordham Boulevard. Northbound Durham Freeway also filling up Alexander Drive to the Durham Freeway. And we're seeing some crowded segments now on 40 eastbound as you travel out towards RTP from 751 to the Durham Freeway. If you see anything while traveling, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL Chapelboro.
Glass Half Full is a friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carrboro. Go online to find out more at glasshalffullcarrboro.com. Good food, good wine, and lots of fun, too, at Glass Half Full. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. It is really kind of nice. It feels kind of good out there this morning. It's 51 degrees, mostly cloudy all day today. High today about 68 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain after midnight. Our low tonight, about 48, 49. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies. 50-50 chance of rain with a high tomorrow in the upper 60s. And we're going to get up to about 70 on Wednesday, if you're wondering about that. And let me just tell you that Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza, right next door to Whole Foods. Check them out. 750 WCHL. Good morning. Ron Stutz here and Nikki Morse. And ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now. Say the word, you'll be free. Always wordy. Say the word.
A little nerdy.
I would never say that.
Always picking on me, Ron boy. Hey, Nikki.
Yes.
It was good to meet you face to face, finally.
It was awesome. I loved hanging out with you.
I tell you, and Ron, after all these years, talk about it, Ron introduced me to Lydia Lavelle. Good morning, Mayor.
Are you serious?
I got to meet the mayor face to face.
Oh, I thought you knew her.
No, not really. That was a pleasure, and congratulations, Ron, and everybody at the station on the Village Pride, Hometown Heroes. Great event.
Yeah, yesterday, for those of you who don't know, we had our annual Hometown Heroes lunch at the Carolina Inn, where we invited all of our Village Pride Award Hometown Hero recipients from all of 2014, and a whole bunch of them were there. We had a great time, and I just, you know, can't get over the wonderful people who were in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Very humble.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
We belong to a mutual admiration society. Ron Stotts and me. All right, time's a wasting. The word of the day, guys. Here we go.
All right.
As usual, it has nothing to do with the price of eggs in Philadelphia. We just grabbed there on the top of the stack. We're going to enter the pages of, I guess it would be, what, Architectural Digest this morning. The word of the day is octostyle. Octostyle could be a villain in a James Bond movie, right?
Sounds like it.
Octostyle. O-C-T-A-S-T-Y-L-E. That's pretty simple. O-C-T-A followed by style, S-T-Y-L-E. Functions as an adjective and as a noun. As an adjective, it's all about buildings or porticos, specifically, having eight columns at the end or at the front. As a noun, octostyle describes a portico or a building with aforesaid eight columns. It's like the driveway on the way up to Ron's house. It's, you know, like going to Biltmore.
Is
what it
yes.
is.
No, I know you're delusional.
You know, these overpaid, underworked disc jockeys, it's just a crime. So.
Anyway, guys,
there it is. Octostyle, your word of the day. Onward and upward, another week, and let's see what develops, shall we?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking it was going to be something like a shirt with eight armholes.
That is fit with Ron, too, with all those computers he has to deal with.
That would work. That would work. I'll take one of those.
Talk to you in the morning. Bye-bye.
All right,
bye-bye.
Buddy. Say the word, you'll be free. Dr. Wayne Pond. Say the word, the intellectual guru of the morning show here. And our vocabulary is much better off now that he has visited with us today. And the word of the day on WCHL brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I have no idea.
Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in here and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it, if you can do all that before anyone else. Then I will give you a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. Time now for the clean joke of the day on WCHL, and here is Nikki Morse.
Thanks, Ron. A man phoned his doctor saying his wife appeared to be having an appendicitis attack. That's impossible, the physician replied. She had an appendectomy last year. Why are you bothering me for something as ridiculous as that? Have you ever seen anybody with a second appendix? No, the husband replied. Have you ever seen anybody with a second wife?
7:55 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Matt Cohn. He's a social studies teacher. Matt, you were nominated by a former parent of a student in your class. She says that you are just the most inspiring teacher ever.
Well, first of all, I'm flattered. I hope her daughter feels the same way. I'm lucky. I'm at a great school, Carrboro High School, and as a teacher, I have some autonomy in my elective course to teach about issues that I'm really passionate about. When a teacher gets to teach things they care about, and when they get to connect students with cool speakers and books and films and articles, really interesting things can happen.
They get upset when they hear about things going on in other parts of the world. You do a great job communicating all of that to your students.
You know, like teenagers get upset when they realize that there's wrong in the world, and that's the exciting part about being a high school teacher is sometimes you're the first person to let them know about a particular issue. Although they might get very excited and frustrated about it, they don't always have an outlet. And so one of the neat things in Kara's case, her daughter, is that she was able to learn a lot about the reconstruction, for example, of Haiti. And it hasn't gone as well as a lot of folks would have liked. And she was able to understand some of the reasons for that. And she was able to come up with her own proposals for how could we do reconstruction in a way that really serves the Haitian people, not folks who are contracted in Washington to do this work. I'm going to hold a high expectation for you. I'm going to give you access to a lot of really cool resources, and then go out there and see what you can come up with. And I've been impressed by what students are capable of when the bar is set high.
And of course, when you make them so excited and so passionate about dealing with the world's problems like poverty, hunger, disease, inequality, that of course makes them better citizens right here at home in our community. And you go so far outside the box, that's why you are such an outstanding teacher.
Well, Ron, I appreciate that. People are very generous with students and teachers. So, you know, my students have been fortunate to talk and meet with a lot of really cool folks. And we just say, can you give us 15 minutes of your time? In exchange for that 15 minutes, you might light a fire under a kid. And that could serve as inspiration for them for decades worth of work. So we've been really lucky. And, you know, I'm biased, but I think the kids at Carrboro High are number one when it comes to not just caring about issues, but doing something about them.
Thanks to Lori Policelli for the nomination. But also, I know you work really hard at helping students see the world beyond the classroom. I appreciate what you do.
Thanks a lot, Ron. And here's the truth. When one of them becomes president of the United States, I tell them they owe me a Skype conversation. And I'll tell them now they've got to be on your show, too.
That's the deal. Matt Cohn, social studies teacher at Carrboro High School. Today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
I'm Sir Isaac Newton, and I missed out on Geico car insurance. Discovering gravity was neat, but you don't need an apple to fall on your head to realize saving with Geico is just as impressive. Since 1936, Geico's been saving people money on car insurance. That's over 75 years. So savings over time equals celebration. Zing! Understand the gravity of the situation and switch to Geico. Get it?
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years.
There are many reasons people sell gold and silver to Jewel Recycle in University Mall. Inheritance of unwanted jewelry and flatware, gifts from the ex, downsizing, or just for a little extra cash. But did you know the manufacturer of an average gold ring creates more than 20 tons of mining waste? Selling unused jewelry is the green thing to do. Jewel Recycle in University Mall is the Triangle's top gold buyer. Visit them for a no-obligation, generous offer. Also on the web at jewelrecycle.com.
Don't miss the WCHL weekend shows designed to educate, inform, inspire, and entertain. Explore new culinary insights from a local to global level with hosts Liz Cooper and Jay White on Side Dish, sponsored by Southern Season. Or take a deeper look into issues in the world of sports with Sports Focus, hosted by Charlie Tuggle of the UNC School of Journalism. These are just two of your listening possibilities on the weekend. Find the weekend schedule on chapelboro.com or just tune in to 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. WCHL. CHL, the News Talk and Tar Heels station.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
51 degrees right now, mostly cloudy today. Our high today about 68 degrees. Tonight partly cloudy and slight chance of rain after midnight. Overnight low about 48. And then tomorrow cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain with a high in the upper 60s. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, where you can fuel up each morning with Cruisers Fresh Fruit Beans Cafe Coffee, Cappuccino, and Hot Chocolate. Make it your way every day. Guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go.
8 o'clock. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.